Now I'll start and see if this goes all right. This is Wednesday, October 17th, 1990, a beautiful sunny day. And I am sitting with Agatha Dakin, Mrs. M. Edward Dakin, at her home on Sugar Hill in Amesville. And Agatha is going to tell us about Amesville.
All I can tell you about Amesville is from the time that I moved here in 1939. So really, I consider myself an old timer, but not nearly as old as a few of the people that are left. I will start by mentioning that we don't know exactly where the boundaries of Amesville are, where Amesville starts and where Amesville finishes. I asked Lila Nash some time ago where the boundaries were, and she didn't know. And if Lila didn't know, nobody knows. We'll start with what appears to be the center of Amesville, or to have been the center of Amesville, by the bridge. There was a tavern, a large tavern, at the foot of Falls Mountain Road, which runs almost parallel to Sugar Hill Road. Next to the tavern was the country store. And when I first walked into it, it was a residence of Miss Mary Lambert, a retired teacher from the city. She had not done a great deal to the house. In fact, she had left the walls bare as they were when it was a store, and one could see where the shelves had been. And beyond that, we go toward Brinton Hill. There are several houses along there, but I have no idea who has lived in them, and I'm sure that the whole area has changed, because there has been a great deal of turnover of real estate. At the foot of Brinton Hill, we enter the wooded part, which goes toward Trinity Church and the racetrack. Working back from the center, the bridge, there's a road that goes up to Falls Mountain. That road is closed partway up the hill. There are several houses on it. But originally, the road went over and ended at the beginning of Farnham Road. And I believe the minor house is at the end of that road. I have never walked it, but I have walked through a good many of the woodsy paths near there. Then we turn toward turn up to the left toward Sugar Hill. Sugar Hill is off the main road, River Road. Twists and turns up to the top of Sugar Hill. And I believe it was named Sugar Hill because there were so many maple trees. I'm sure people made a great deal of syrup. In fact, I have done it myself. And at the top of the hill, where it ends, that is, the road ends, you go into the woods, and if you walk far enough, you'll come out at Barak Matith, which is where the Rand place was, is. And I have never walked all the way over the hill. It is littered with fallen trees. And as a matter of fact, years ago, before the road was paved, Mr. McChesney used to ride horseback over the hill. And he often stopped and chatted with me. And he told me that Sugar Hill Road was formerly called Christian Street. He thought it was very appropriate because it ended in paradise. That wooded area is paradise. Coming down the hill, we approached the old house that belonged to a gentleman named Fred Howd, who was a great botanist. He was really well known in this area because he had such a beautiful garden and such extreme knowledge of plants. Then across the road from him lives Mrs. Wooden, a pretty little woman who was tending her handicapped husband, who sat on the porch. And as Mrs. Wooden went down the hill every day that it was cold, very cold, and every day that it was very hot, we'd hear her trotting down the road. She had to get liver for her cats. She had numerous cats. And then we'd come to the home of C.B. Falls, who was a very fine artist. In fact, he painted many posters during the First World War, along with James Montgomery Flagg and Howard Chandler Christie. They were friends. He lived in New York, but he lived in Amesville for many, many years. And he had his studio across the street, which is now occupied by a family. And then below that was the home of Harry Strong, who became executive secretary to Governor Baldwin. And his daughter, is Mrs. Groark, who is running on the same ticket with Mr. Weicker, and she played used to play with my children, and they used to squabble together, but Eunice grew up to be a very bright person. In fact, she went to Connecticut law school and was there at the time my sons were there, and they renewed old acquaintances. Then below that, we come to the home of Harry Cimino, who is a very fine artist, illustrator, and designer of textiles. Harry and Miriam were wonderful people and lived there for many years, although they had not originated there. I don't know who owned the house before they lived there. There was a John below there. There was the old Bates home, and that was inhabited by their daughter. Old Shadrach Bates was the patriarch, and I never knew him, and I never knew his wife, but I knew his children, and they lived in, they owned a great deal of property in the woods, a great deal of woodland, and they all settled right around our area of Sugar Hill. And from Sugar Hill, leading to the left as you go down the hill, is what's known as Puddler's Lane. Now, the Puddlers were the men who worked in the at the forge where the wheels were manufactured, the railroad tracks. And there are six houses on that road, all occupied now by outsiders. And the houses have been fixed up, and they're just little houses of no particular design, but still there were many interesting people. Interesting from the standpoint that they were Amesvillians. And when I first came here, we were very busy fixing up our house because it was a shell of a house. It had been owned by Miss Jacoby, Miss Minnie Jacoby, who was the district school teacher who taught for 40 years in the district school, which is on the River Road. But it had been abandoned the year before we moved here. That is, in 1938, it must have been abandoned because they decided to bus the children over to the Salisbury Central School and the Grove School. And Miss Jacoby taught in the district schoolhouse, I said. And the district schoolhouse was sold at auction during the war. The town decided to abandon the schoolhouses. And it was sold at auction for $500.
Oh, goodness.
That is at the foot of Sugar Hill, a part of Amesville. Actually, not Sugar Hill, it's the River Road. And if you turn to the left, you will, along the River Road, you will come to a house on the left, a rather large and house where Mr. Lockwood lived. Mr. Lockwood was our milkman for some years, and in fact, he delivered milk to us right to the door at 10 cents a quart. And he had the most interesting assortment of milk bottles. He was a very nice man, and we also had the advantage of having a peddler, a meat peddler from Fred Bates' meat store in West Cornwall. And he would come around once a week and we'd buy our meat from him. But most of it we'd bought from Hamsey's store, which was across the river in Falls Village. And Mr. Hamsey had a general store, everything from pots and pans, pork roasts, and one of his boys would come up every morning in his blue, every Wednesday morning in his blue truck and take the order and deliver the order Wednesday afternoon.
Oh, how lovely.
Well, the house that was at the what seems to be the end of Amesville, I don't say it is the end because I don't know, nobody seems to know, but Penn Lewis had been in the service. He was a naval officer, and when he was retired from the service, he decided that he wanted to have a farm and raise cattle. And he did so. He had a very charming wife and three very charming children. The children went to school in Salisbury Central. And Penn Lewis was a very kind, considerate, thoughtful man. And one year, I think it was about 1950, we had a very bad storm which weakened the buttresses of the bridge, and they decided to close the bridge.
Oh boy.
And the bridge was closed for 6 months. And we had no means of getting out to to other places, and we couldn't get milk. The children needed milk. So Penn, who had cows and had no way of getting rid of the milk, delivered it around to all the neighbors in Amesville.
What a nice thing to do.
And we were hemmed in completely, and there was a little boy whose parents were renting our house at the time. We were away and they were renting our house, and the child was taken ill on New Year's Eve with a very serious case of pneumonia, I believe, and the men had been at a party, and they got together and carried the little boy across the hill to the top of Brinton Hill, where they were met by someone who took the child to the hospital.
So there was no way to go down the river road?
No, the river road was cut right off at the foot of Brinton Hill. In fact,
oh, gracious.
once when we were flooded, my husband and I walked down that road, and you couldn't. It was all mud and water. We were barefoot.
Oh dear!
And on the other side, we watched the road separate. The other side of the sugar.
You're really pioneers out here.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
Thank you, Agatha, for a very interesting interview. You've told a great deal about Amesville that people are going to be awfully glad to have. We'll sign off now, and my thanks again. This is Mary Bodell, who conducted the interview.